Good evening, everyone. I call the December 2nd, 2024 City Council meeting to order. The clerk will call the roll. Here.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Here.
Mr. Howe?
Here.
Mr. Lattiser? Mr. McElroy?
Here.
Mr. Ricks?
Here.
Mr. Sinapi?
Here.
Ms. Travis?
Here.
Nine present.
Thank you. Councilman Foley, will you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming, and the rocket's red glare, the bomb bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there.
Good evening again, everyone. First up on our agenda this evening is Lauren Slocum, the President and CEO of the Central Rhode Island Chamber of Commerce, to give a brief overview of upcoming events in the local business community. Why don't we use this one here, please? And if we can just help her with the microphone.
Mr. President?
Yep, Councilman Lattiser.
Sir, so my question is, will we be allowed, we, the council members, members of the public, will we be allowed to ask questions or have comments from either of the two speakers?
Not at this time. They are invited guests to give a presentation to the council, and will be available for any follow-up questions after the meeting.
And so under what council rule or ordinance, or should I direct that to the solicitor, that we're going to be prohibited from asking questions on something as significant as the budget we're going to be, or someone's going to be presenting to us?
Well, this is what we've done for the past 4 years. We've had guests come in, we've had nonprofits come in, we've had the school committee, school superintendent did a presentation, we've had championship teams from Pilgrim and Tollgate come in, we had a postal worker came in and speak. So this is something that we have done. There is no votes that would be taken on anything that either speaker will be speaking on tonight. And I invited them as the chair of this committee. I invited them to come and speak to us.
And those speakers that you're referencing, Mr. President, with all due respect, it's completely different than the speakers that are going to be here tonight, and totally different than the budgets that we'll be discussing.
I disagree. Again, these are members of the community. This is a forum that we've invited members of the community to come in. There will be no votes this evening on anything that either one of these speakers will be speaking on. So they're just here to present information to the public at a different forum. Both of these individuals speak to the community at all times, and we wanted to give them an opportunity to speak to the council.
So you are not going to allow comment or questions based upon your sole discretion?
Correct. We're going to continue to do what we have done for the past 4 years when we've had guests. They're going to give their remarks, and we're going to thank them for their time and move on to the next docketed agenda item.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good evening, Council. Good evening, President, and distinguished members of the council. Thank you very much for giving me a few minutes of your time. Most of you are familiar with me and where we are across the street from City Hall. And I will be available by phone, by email. Many of you have my cell phone. If not, and you want it, happy to provide it to answer any questions. The Chamber has a host of services and opportunities that it offers, not only for business, but for community members. And while many of the services that we offer are for Chamber members, most are available to any business within the community. So the member businesses, the businesses you have within your ward, almost all of them are able to have up to 10 hours at no charge of business counseling. It might be finance, marketing, hiring, looking to buy a building, projections, all sorts of things. They would merely reach out as a business within the city, and we would partner them with counselors, and they can receive up to 10 hours. So don't hesitate to send someone my way, and we'll try and get them matched with someone to assist. In addition, we've just offered, there's a new form that the federal government's requiring by the end of the year, or there's a significant fine per day. We did a free clinic to the entire city and to our service area where they could come in, and we had the Secretary of State's office and students from Roger Williams Legal School that came and helped them fill out the form and submit it for them, all at no charge. And so we continue to do things like that that are good for business as a whole. We provide advocacy and are always looking for feedback from businesses on issues at the State House. So again, if you have someone that has concern over something that's surfacing, please have them reach out. There's nothing better than understanding how a particular piece of legislation is going to directly affect a business and us not to assume it. We provide a host of tourism and relocation services to people within the community. Many of you have been to movies in the park at Rocky Point that we provide, or the Halloween movie that was done at Ben Street Field in the fall. And we will continue to do things like that. As the needs surface, we try and provide. So if there is a concern from a business in your area, it doesn't just affect them, but it's not only their business, but it's their community and their life. And that's what we want to help to do, is help to connect them with the services or the people they need to be with to solve their challenge and to move them forward to the next step. So by all means, please reach out. I'm happy to answer any questions, happy to provide any information afterwards that I can, and happy to try and assist the businesses and the individuals within your ward to accomplish their goals. And I thank you.
Thank you very much. Number two on the agenda this evening is Sean Galligan, the Warwick School Committee Chair, to give an update on school committee activities. And again, this is for informational only. Mr. Chairman. Hold on. Councilman Ricks.
Pardon the interruption. A brief question to our City Council solicitor. The question being, is there any reason, such as the Open Meetings Act, that would prevent us from having an open question and answer session during an item or during a presentation such as this?
The Open Meetings Act is designed in order to provide the public ample notice of what is going to happen at the public meeting. Deviating from the structure of the noticed issue exposes open meetings problems.
And similarly, even if there were notice on this particular presentation there were question and answers permitted, which on this item there is not, wouldn't there be a risk of an Open Meetings Act violation if the questions strayed from the topics that would be specifically listed as part of the agenda?
It is possible.
So the safest approach, if we're going to have a presentation such as this, would be to make it informational only?
I would contend that's not really a legal question, but... I would contend that that's not a legal question. That's a policy decision for the body to decide.
Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Honorable members of the City Council and Council President McAllister, thank you for the opportunity to speak with you tonight and provide an update on the progress of Warwick Public Schools. On behalf of our superintendent, Lynn Danbrook, Assistant Superintendent Bill McCaffrey, and they're in administration, and Vice Chairwoman Ms. Leah Ann Hazelwood, and our colleagues on the school committee. I'd like to quickly take a moment to express our deepest gratitude to the outgoing council members. Your unwavering support and steadfast dedication over the years have been instrumental in fostering and a productive partnership between our schools and city in ways not seen in decades. This partnership, rooted in trust, collaboration, and mutual respect, has enriched our community and brought us closer to our shared goal, ensuring the best possible future for children and families we all serve here in Warwick and our community. At our recent school committee meeting in November, we conducted a comprehensive review of our district's performance using the latest RICAST results alongside internal diagnostics testing. After thorough discussions with the administrative team, I can share the following updates with all of you. We are encouraged to see math scores continue their upward trajectory for a fourth consecutive year, reflecting the hard work of both our students and educators. While English language arts, otherwise known as ELA scores, have shown consistent improvement, some schools did not achieve the level of progress we had hoped for following 3 years of consecutive increases. To address this, the curriculum elementary and secondary departments are collaboratively closely working with the principals to develop targets and action plans. The administration is analyzing data to understand why certain schools are underperforming despite the implementation of an improved and standardized curriculum across grade levels. We anticipate identifying root causes soon and will develop actionable solutions based on those findings. Each school will create a tailored action plan informed by its unique context and needs. These plans will be presented to the administration, integrated into the district's strategic plan, and then submitted to the Department of Education for approval. The overarching goal is to ensure that each plan is clear, targeted, and focused on driving student achievement. This year, we are shifting from an annual review of the achievement plans and to a monthly review. This approach allows for ongoing adjustments to ensure that the strategies remain responsive and effective throughout the school year. These steps reflect our commitment to continuous improvement and to providing every student in Warwick the support and resources they need. I would now like to address the fiscal health and well-being of our school district. Recently, several media outlets have reported on the financial balance sheet presented during the November school committee meeting. It is important to clarify that this document represented a snapshot of the district's finances and not a finalized financial ledger. Public finances are inherently complex, involving grant-funded expenditures, state and local allocations, and ongoing fiscal adjustments, especially as certain programs like the extended school year services continue beyond the fiscal year's conclusion. I contacted many other school committee members from cities and towns and city and town councils or boards, and they indicated that they're doing the same thing, even though that their fiscal year is concluded on June 30th. We are not an anomaly. Most are doing the same thing we are, and that's rectifying their budgets. Unfortunately, one particular elected official has chosen to misrepresent this preliminary document, focusing on a single line item expenditure and taking it out of context. This has led to unnecessary fear and concern among taxpayers, which I feel compelled to address, especially those who are on fixed incomes. Moreover, these comments unfairly discredit myself, the members of the school committee, our superintendent, and her administrative team. On behalf of this particular individual, I extend a public apology to the superintendent, for having your credibility challenged and called into question. Her unwavering dedication and transparency to the taxpayers and children of Warwick is evident in her tireless efforts every day. But do not take my word for it. To ease any concerns among taxpayers this holiday season, I want to assure everyone the reported $6 million deficit is not grounded in reality. Here are the facts. Like most municipalities, our business office continues to reconcile FY24 finances. A trial balance was sent to the auditors last week as part of the routine reconciliation process. For FY25, this current fiscal year, we have implemented a freeze on discretionary spending to identify cost-saving measures and achieve a balanced budget, showing appropriate oversight by the school committee. This is a proactive step, as many districts similar to ours face challenges due to the expiration of ESSER funds. As far as deficit mitigation efforts, the administration is working closely with each and every of the budget owners to identify potential cost eliminations that could cover any shortfalls in the upcoming fiscal year, something that's, you know, fairly, you know, natural. If you're seeing a cost overrun in one particular line item, you decrease your spend in another area. It's common in both public and private sector. Also, to take control of the situation, the school committee has leveraged an expert on municipal finances. We have retained the seasoned municipal finance consultant to assist in reconciling the FY24 finances. This was done before anything became out there and spun. This individual will also provide confidence in the accuracy of financial reporting and aid in the development of a strategic plan to ensure that FY25 concludes with a balanced budget. These actions reflect our commitment to transparency, fiscal responsibility, and the well-being of our community. It's my job to make sure that we spend all of your tax dollars wisely and appropriately, and we're committed to doing just that. We are confident in our ability to navigate these financial challenges and continue providing the highest level of service to the families of Warwick. Let me be clear and on the record today, the school committee has very, very, very difficult decisions ahead of us because, like many communities across the state, we're going to have to make some cuts here in our current fiscal year to have a balanced budget. And that's what we're doing, despite any other misinformation out there. Now on to some great news. I'm pleased to share updates on the progress of several school renovation projects that began this summer. Greenwood HVAC, that its system installation is complete, with the project now awaiting the arrival of some bookshelves to wrap up that project in its entirety. Oakland Beach, the emergency masonry repair work is on track to be completed by December 11th, weather permitting. The Oakland Beach renovation project as a whole, the HVAC system has been completed. Masonry repairs, as I mentioned, caused a delay in some window installations, but the windows are scheduled to be completed by January the 10th. Warwick Neck ADA elevator and site work, all of that site work is finished. The elevator inspections are scheduled for December 4th, marking the completion of this project. And the Holloman renovation, this project is currently 1 month ahead of schedule. Rooftop units were installed last week. Windows are expected to arrive on December 15th, doors on the 23rd, and all interior work is progressing ahead of plan. I went and put my eyes on it. I believe in trust and verify, picking up the phone, making phone calls. So I went and put my eyes on it itself, and it's looking very good. And the councilman from Ward 1 and 2, who have some residents that go there, you'll be very pleased. And last but not least, if you remember, we suspended the use of kilns across the district last year over compliance concerns. We invested in the kilns at the middle school level. It didn't make fiscal sense to invest in them at the high school level because of the construction of the high schools that are going to occur in March of next year. So those kiln rooms have been upgraded, and we're very proud of that. We're waiting for formal approval to be released for these rooms for use, but the final inspections were completed last week. These updates reflect tremendous progress we're making in enhancing our facilities to support our students and staff. We remain committed to ensuring these projects are completed efficiently and to the highest standards. That's what you should all expect from work with the tax dollars that you put in. Finally, I'd like to provide a brief update on the construction of the new Pilgrim and Tollgate High Schools. The design and development phase, the project is currently in that phase. Once this phase is reviewed and approved by the school building committee and the full school committee, it will be forwarded to the Rhode Island Department of Education for their review and feedback. Following this step, we will transition to the construction documentation phase and then subsequently the construction phase. Those are the required steps of the construction process, not dictated by anyone in this room or anyone that's elected or has a decision making in that regard. It's dictated by RIDE. Once design development documents are finalized by both Demio, the construction manager whom we selected, and an independent third-party estimator, they will review and estimate those costs. These estimates will then be reconciled and presented to the appropriate committees. While scope details are still being refined, all financial trends are showing positive. We remain hopeful to keep the project as close to $350 million as possible. So as you remember, I did call a meeting in October. We were over budget at that time, but we're continuing to work through and get more close to finite estimates. It's important to address misinformation and rumors suggesting the elimination of building inspections or commissioning costs. I want you to know that these are unequivocally false. These costs have been adjusted to reflect more accurate estimates, but neither has been cut. The buildings will still be inspected and commissioning activities will still occur. Can't eliminate those legally. We can't do that. Achieving a certificate of occupancy legally requires compliance and with building and fire codes, which mandates thorough inspections and commissioning. As far as scope management, some in the community have shared incorrect claims about extensive scope reductions. The only programmatic changes since the stage two submission in 2022, clarifying that statement there, programmatic, that's the key word there, would be reducing from 3 full-size fields per school to 2, reducing the total number of tennis courts from 6 to 5, removing outdoor basketball courts, which presented operational challenges during off hours, and all other program spaces, including the original designs, continue to remain accounted for. As far as community engagement goes, as we move forward towards construction this spring, the project team will soon be holding on-site meetings with abutters. So for the council people that are living around these construction spaces, this is important. Those meetings with the abutters and nearby residents will address topics of interest to include logistics, dust control, traffic, contractor parking, and more. These meetings will be publicized well in advance to ensure community involvement. We're committed to transparency and to delivering modern, state-of-the-art facilities that meet the needs of our students, staff, and community. Lastly, the next school committee meeting that will focus solely on school construction, that will occur in late January, which we're eyeing at this moment in time, the week of January 27th. So figure the last week of January, we'll have everybody come back and we'll give you another update. We'll let you know where we stand financially, designs, everything else. In closing, I'd like to extend a heartfelt message to both our incoming and outgoing council members. To the incoming council members, please know that my colleagues, the superintendent, assistant superintendent, and I are always available to support you. Whether you have questions, concerns, or ideas, our phones are always on. You can pick them up, you can call. If you need any clarification on anything, feel free to reach out to us and we'll answer that. And I promise we won't spin anything. We'll give you facts. I believe in transparency, open and honest government, because that's what you deserve. We pride ourselves highly on that and being responsive and collaborative. And to those concluding your tenure on this council, Councilman Howe, Councilman McElroy, Councilwoman Travis, who served with my father-in-law when he sat up there, Councilman Donald Torres, and to Council President McAllister, we wish you the very best in your future endeavors. Thank you for your dedicated service to our community. It takes a truly special individual to step into public service, often placing yourselves and your families into the spotlight. The workload far exceeds the compensation. And yet many of you have served with distinction for years, earning the respect and trust of your constituents. Your commitment to work has made a lasting impact, and for that, we're deeply grateful, and I want to wish you all a happy and safe holiday season. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Next up is general communications. This is the announcements of congratulations, condolences, or community events. I have one coming this Saturday is the second annual Appanag Stroll and Rolling Winter Festival. So there will be a parade that kicks off at 10 a.m. here in Appanag. If you're planning to attend or participate, please know that they will be closing the roads at 9 a.m. around here. So around the Appanator here, they'll be closing the roads. There will be free parking and shuttle service from Tollgate High School that will bring in everyone. And there's also going to be parking available at the AAA Annex building. The shuttle will stop there as well if any individuals need a ride from there. There is a number of events. This is going to be going on from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Again, the parade will kick off at 10 a.m. Then there will be pictures with Santa. There's balloon and glitter tattoo station. There's free face painting. There's a touch of truck. There'll be a DJ. There's crafts. There is a scavenger hunt. The Warwick Police will have a canine demonstration. The Don Rodriguez Karate will do a demonstration as well. So it'll be a full fun day. I also want to thank all of the volunteers and partners. Everyone in this community is participating. The Chamber of Commerce right across the street here is going to be hosting. I believe they're going to have Santa Claus in there like they did last year. The churches around here are going to be having events. The Warwick Center for the Arts is going to be having an event. The library will be having events. So please come. Spend all day. There's going to be local vendors there as well. There'll be some food trucks. It's going to be a great time. I know we all had a lot of fun last year, and hopefully we get good weather like we did last year too. So I hope to see everyone there. Again, reminder, the roads close at 9. So if you're coming, be prepared for that. But there is free shuttle service from Tollgate and the AAA Annex building. Are there any other members have anything under general communications? This is the announcements of congratulations, condolences, and community events. Councilman McElroy.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, I would like to ask for a moment of silence for Thomas Flanders, a longtime friend and resident of Connecticut and a member of the William Shields Post and of the Elks. He was also the father of Tom Flanders, who is the chair of the Pilgrim High School Physical Education Department and longtime coach of the Pilgrim soccer teams and of local soccer teams. I ask for a moment of silence.
Thank you, Councilman. We will have a moment of silence at this time. Thank you. Any other members of the council have anything under general communication, announcements of condolences, congratulations, or community events? Councilwoman Travis.
I also have a moment of silence for Vincent Miranda. Excuse me. Very active in the community, very active in the Oakland Beach Firemen's Club, the Little Roadie Boat Club, and was involved with many things in that area.
Thank you, Councilwoman. We'll have a moment of silence at this time. Thank you. Any other members of the council have anything under general communications? Okay. Next up is executive communications. There are none. So we'll move to A, which is the acceptance of the minutes from the council meeting held on November 18th. Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Thank you. Next up is number one is the consent calendar. First up is PCR 113-24, resolution relative to bids, committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
I'd like to move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley and Councilman Gephardt. Go ahead, Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Bid 2025-32, correction, bid 2025-237, bid 2024-208 Alpha, bid 2025-250, bid 2025-292, 2025-231, 2024-208 Bravo, 2025-272, 2025-252, 2025-350, 2025-257, 2025-294, 2025-293, 2025-295, 2021-290. That concludes consent calendars.
Thank you, Chairman Howe. Any questions or comments that was not asked earlier this evening in the Finance Committee? Okay. Next is PCR 114-24, resolution relative to claims, committee report, public safety.
Recommend favorable action.
For action, Councilman Foley.
Favorable action.
Second by Councilman McElroy. Go ahead, Councilman Foley.
The one claim for Gene Connery, the recommendation is to pay in the amount of $300.
Okay. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Okay. Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action on the consent calendar.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr.
Howe? Yes.
Mr.
McElroy? Yes.
Mr.
Riggs? Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. I believe one item was pulled from the finance consent calendar. Councilman Howe.
Yes, Mr. President. Former bid 2025-251, window tinting for Pilgrim Senior Center dining room, is now PCR 115-24. That left committee favorable action.
Okay. For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Questions or comments? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. So to just follow up on my comments and concerns from the Finance Committee meeting, it just doesn't make any sense to me to spend $5,500 on windows that are 34 years old or older. We have no idea what the condition of the windows are. I can assure you that these seals on these windows, it is highly unlikely that those seals have not failed after all of these years. Back in the day, they were only guaranteed for 5 years back in the day. Today, there's anywhere from a 20-year to a lifetime warranty on seal failure. When the seals go on those windows, they no longer insulate. You have essentially nothing better than a single glazed window, just keeping out the wind and the snow and the rain. It's not doing anything for insulating. I don't think anyone in this chamber or any homeowner that I know would spend $5,500 tinting windows that were 34 years old. I can't even conceive anyone doing that. In addition to that, my suggestion would be, why not take the $5,500 and replace as many of the existing glass panels as you can? You may not and probably will not be able to do all of them. I don't know if you could do half of them. And no one else does because no one else bothered to get any prices or get any comparative estimates or guidance as to what to do. It seems as though sometimes when these suggestions are made, there's an offense taken because you're trying to make a suggestion or you're trying to help. To me, there is no other sensible decision on this other than to take the $5,500 and appropriate it to start replacing existing glass, get an energy efficient glass that is ENERGY STAR rated It's going to save you monies in your heat loss. It's going to come through with factory-installed, low-E tinted glass, warranted. And I'd also point out that, think about, I understand the sunlight. We get it right here. We understand that. But you don't get it on this side. You don't get it on that side. You don't get it on this side. And it's no different in the Pilgrim Senior Center. The sun strength is on the south side. As you know, it comes up in the east. It's not as strong. It's first thing in the morning. At this time of the year, the sun is low. So you don't even need reflective glass because the sun's so low. So you replace the windows where the problem is on the solar gain and the sun coming through with the 5500. You don't need to replace all the windows. Not today. The windows on the north doesn't give you any problem with sunlight, and very little on the west. So my recommendation would be to appropriate the $5,500 so it's not lost and commit it to windows. We have a window manufacturing company right here in Appanag. I'm sure they would get out there and, you know, get you that estimate and get a contract signed lickety-split so we don't lose the $5,500, and put $5,500 into new windows as opposed to putting $5,500 into 34-year-old windows that, if they fail or when they fail, in addition to having to replace the window anyways, you're going to have to redo the low-E tint. And don't think for one second it's going to come out to $171 and change per unit to do one as it does for 32. It just doesn't make any sense to me. So for all those reasons, Mr. President, thank you for the indulgence. I will be voting no on this item. Not that I disagree with the necessity of getting the protection there. I disagree with spending $5,500 on something that is 34 years old and doesn't make any sense. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Rex.
Thank you. I completely agree with Councilman Lattiser. I think that Councilman Lattiser said some particularly important things. I'm not going to repeat everything that he said, but would certainly want to highlight that we are in complete agreement that we are not opposed to the tinting of these windows. We do want to see these investments in the Pilgrim Senior Center, but let's not throw good money after bad here. Let's get this done right. I would also add to that that when it comes to these ARPA funds, we do have the ability, rather the city has the ability, to commit the funding. As discussed by Councilman Lattiser, and there's no need for only one particular vendor here either. The city does, as we have discussed on previous occasion, at least one previous occasion, have the ability to go out there, find the best deal that it can, considering its powers under the city charter, make sure that we're spending all of the ARPA funds effectively, getting that money committed right away, make sure that it's all getting done before the end of the year. And so if the city council here tonight were to decline to expend these particular funds on this particular item, that in no way prevents the city from going out, spending that money effectively, investing in the Pilgrim Senior Center, and making sure that we have brand new, excellent windows in that senior center that are also doing their job, keeping the heat in that building, and in the summer, keeping that building cooler. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, with your permission, may I ask the director some poignant questions? since this was made a PCR and the discussion is on the windows, I just have two questions I'd like to ask.
Yeah, questions that were not asked earlier in committee.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Director, if you don't mind.
And just please identify yourself for the record again.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Kathleen Bull, Senior Services.
Thank you. Great points were made this evening. And my first question to you was, at any time we receive our dockets about a week prior to these meetings, at any time did you receive a phone call from any member of the council asking you or offering any ideas or asking any of these questions to see if there's anything that can be done to possibly pause this or speak to you as the director to pause these purchases to maybe look into new windows?
Sure. I received an email on Monday morning from Councilman Lattiser.
Good. Thank you. And what was your response on that? What was your...
He had asked about how old the windows were, the window thickness. So I answered the questions that I knew the responses to.
Certainly. And so your answer, did that also come to a point where you agreed that the windows are good for service now? Or did you, when you answered the councilman, did you feel that the windows could be replaced?
I suppose my answer would be that I haven't seen an assessment that the windows needed full replacement.
If so,
that
yep.
answers your question.
Okay, so that was done. And I thank you for that, because that's important. I know that when our committee, we go out for questions or we have questions, we ensure that we share a lot of those questions with the council so that there's a full discussion and it's open communication. So that's why I wanted to bring that up. So you acknowledged that on Monday you did receive a... Did you say Monday? I'm sorry.
I think the email got sent out over the weekend, but because I'm acting director,
yep.
I opened the email on Monday morning.
This morning?
This morning.
Okay. And so you feel confident as the director that if we tint these windows, those windows from what you're getting from the assessment of the building, that this is, you'd still like to move forward with this purchase and have these tint put into the windows?
I would.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Mr. President.
Yep. It's just, anyone had, anybody else had a chance to speak yet? Councilman Foley.
I'd like to call the question.
Okay. Is there a second to that? That would end debate. So is there a second to... Councilman, did you second that? Councilman Howe, second that. Okay, so that ends the debate. So before us was a vote, it was motioned for favorable action and it was seconded. So this would be a vote on PCR 115-24, a motion for favorable actions. Correct. I just want to make sure we're getting it right here.
Absolutely.
Solicitor, walk us through this. I just want to make sure we got it all.
So Councilman Foley made a motion to move the previous question, which was seconded by Councilman Howe, which is a motion to end the debate on the current matter and proceed to the underlying vote. So it's two separate votes. So this isn't debatable. So it's a motion on the previous question. A yes vote is to end debate. A no vote is to proceed with further discussion. And the clerk will.
So this vote right here is to a favorable vote is to end the debate. If you say no, it's to continue the debate on this question.
Point, just a quick question of precedence, or I'm saying that wrong, but to the solicitor, if that's okay, Mr. President.
Yep, solicitor.
My understanding of the rules, and again, I'm not questioning you, I'm questioning the process, is once every council member has a time to speak, once a council member who did not speak says move the question, it takes us right to the vote on the issue.
No, the motion on the previous question is a superior motion to anything going on, and it's a procedural one that the body has to act on. So it comes as a separate action from what comes after. So it's a procedural motion to end the discussion, and proceed immediately with no further discussion on the underlying vote. So it's two separate votes. The first one is on the previous question to end the discussion.
Thank you, Solicitor. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yep. So just to, right now, this vote is yes to end the discussion, no to continue the discussion on the question. The clerk will call the roll. Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
No.
Okay, so now we would go.
Move right now to PCR 11524, which has moved and seconded for favorable action.
So right now, the next vote is a vote for favorable action on PCR 115-24. The clerk will call a roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 No.
Yes.
No.
Thank you. Motion passes. The next item that was pulled off the consent calendar was from the public safety, Councilman Foley.
Yes, PCR 116-24, Christopher Izzy, the claim is to be held. The motion is to hold till, or the recommendation is to hold till 1/13.
Okay, hold till January 13th. Next claim, Councilman Foley.
Next is,
go ahead. Yep.
Next is PCR 117-24. Quay Lu is the claimant, and the motion, the recommendation is hold to 1/13.
Hold to January 13th.
And finally is John Rainier. The recommendation is 118-24, PCR 118-24, and the recommendation is to hold to 1/13.
Hold to January 13th. Thank you. That completes the consent calendar. So now we're moving to new business. First up is PCO 15-24, Committee Report Finance.
Hold till Monday, January 13th.
Hold to January 13th. Next item is PCR 112-24, a resolution authorized the cancellation of uncollectible taxes of deceased taxpayers. Committee report, finance.
Favorable action.
For action, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action.
Second by Councilman Foley. Any questions or comments that were not asked earlier this evening in committee? Okay, hearing none, the clerk will call a roll for favorable action. Yes.
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 Thank you. Motion passes. Ward 1, anything to docket under unanimous consent?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5? Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 7 passes. Ward 8? Ward 9? Councilwoman Travis.
If there be no further business of this honorable body, I move to a docket session.
All those in favor to move into docket session, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? We are in the docket session. I have one item to docket on behalf of the administration, and it's a resolution approving the hazarded mediation plan. Intergovernmental. Ward 1, anything to docket?
Pass.
Ward 2?
Pass.
Ward 3?
Pass.
Ward 4?
Pass.
Ward 5? Ward 6?
Pass.
Ward 8?
Pass.
Ward 9?
Pass.
Okay, we are adjourned. We will see you in 2 weeks.